Mr. Gonzalez was about to search Miss Trixie's area for his missing stamp pad when the door of the office opened and she shuffled in, scuffing her sneakers across the wooden floor. She had with her another paper bag that seemed to contain the same assortment of material and twine, aside from the stamp pad which was sticking out of the top of the bag. For 2 or 3 years, Miss Trixie had been carrying these bags with her, sometimes accumulating 3 or 4 by the side of her desk, never disclosing their purpose or destination to anyone.
"Good morning, Miss Trixie,"
Mr. Gonzalez called in his effervescent tenor.
"And how are we this morning?"
"Who? Oh, hello, Gomez,"
Miss Trixie said feebly and drifted off toward the ladies' room as if she were tacking into a gale. Miss Trixie was never perfectly vertical. She and the floor always met at an angle of less than 90 degrees. Mr. Gonzalez took the opportunity of her disappearance to retrieve his stamp pad from the bag and discovered that it was covered with what felt and smelled like bacon grease. While he was wiping his stamp pad, he wondered how many of the other workers would appear. One day a year ago, only he and Miss Trixie had shown up for work, but that was before the company had granted a $5 monthly increase. Still, the office help at Levy Pants often quit without even telephoning Mr. Gonzalez. This was a constant worry, and always after Miss Trixie's arrival, he watched the door hopefully, especially now that the factory was supposed to begin shipment of its spring and summer line. The truth of the matter was that he needed office help desperately. Mr. Gonzalez saw a green visor outside the door. Had Miss Trixie gone out through the factory and decided to re-enter through the front door? It was like her. She had once gone to the ladies' room in the morning and been found by Mr. Gonzalez late that afternoon, asleep on a pile of piece goods in the factory loft. Then the door opened, and one of the largest men that Mr. Gonzalez had ever seen entered the office. He removed the green cap and revealed thick black hair plastered to his skull with Vaseline in the style of the 1920s. When the overcoat came off, Mr. Gonzalez saw rings of fat squeezed into a tight white shirt that was vertically divided by a wide flowered tie. It appeared that Vaseline had also been applied to the mustache, for it gleamed very brightly. And then there were the unbelievable blue and yellow eyes, laced with the finest tracing of pinkish veins. Mr. Gonzalez prayed almost audibly that this behemoth was an applicant for a job. He was impressed and overwhelmed. Ignatius found himself in perhaps the most disreputable office that he had ever entered. The naked light bulbs that hung irregularly from the stained ceiling cast a weak yellow light upon the warped floorboards. Old filing cabinets divided the room into several small cubicles, in each of which was a desk painted with a peculiar orange varnish. Through the dusty windows of the office, there was a gray view of the Poland Avenue wharf, the Army Terminal, the Mississippi, and far in the distance, the dry docks and the roofs of Algiers across the river.